Welcome back in. Hour number two of Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Ryan Porth here with you on this Thursday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. And I have Teresa Walker drop by at 8 o'clock from the Associated Press. We'll get her thoughts on Julio Jones to the Titans. What does that mean for the Titans as they head into this new season coming up in a few weeks? Looking forward to Teresa joining us at 8 o'clock. Nicole Auerbach from The Athletic at 9 o'clock. To break down the world of college sports right now, including possible expansion to a 12-team college football playoff. We'll get to that coming up at 9 o'clock. And as always, taking your thoughts on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. Now, the NHL playoffs still underway, and two former Predators making some pretty heavy noise in the playoffs. The Stanley Cup semifinals are about to get underway. We're still determining what's going to happen between Vegas and Colorado at this point. Game six taking place tonight between Vegas and Colorado. But the New York Islanders punched their ticket last night to the Stanley Cup semifinals. Barry Trotz has the team in the conference finals / semifinals for the second consecutive year. As we know, Barry Trotz also won a Stanley Cup with the Washington Capitals. And really has changed the culture there with the New York Islanders with how good of a job he's done. Shea Weber and the Montreal Canadiens also in the Stanley Cup semifinals. They've gotten out of the Canadian division. They upset Toronto in the first round and then pull off the sweep of the Winnipeg Jets in the second round as well. So two key members of the Predators in their formative years, Barry Trotz and Shea Weber, still getting things done at a pretty high level. Number one, let's start with Trotz, Joe. What have you made of what Trotz has been able to do in his time with the Islanders? And really since he left here in Nashville. Obviously, winning a Stanley Cup with Washington. Washington really screwed up that contract situation to the point where he left after that year and went to the Islanders. A pretty quick turnaround with the Islanders. Like, you think back, the Islanders, they lose John Tavares by the time Trotz walks through the door, and you thought to yourself, okay, well, this could be a process for Trotz to try to get this thing built back up. And here they are, in the second consecutive year, they're in the Final Four in the NHL. It's been pretty remarkable to see what Barry Trotz has been able to do with the Islanders. It really has.
How long did you talk before I came back in the studio in a row? Was it
3 minutes. Nice.
3 minutes. It's pretty good.
Nice. Impressive.
Thanks. I could have kept going.
And I totally screwed up, too, and I didn't bring my little stir for the coffee. It's a rough morning. Yeah, the Trotz thing is, I think it's a great example of coaches, just the tendency to over-blame coaches. Because that's what was happening in Washington, wasn't it?
Yep.
And I think that's what happened here, but you guys can tell me better. I only know after the fact, and I only know from afar when it happened, but change, I guess, needed. Where's the most likely place for that? It's right there. It's behind
especially
the
in this league.
Especially yep. In the NHL. This league changes out coaches more than any of the other three, football, basketball, baseball, hockey coaches get fired more. And it's a heck of a story, and you're right. I mean, Washington screwed it up, and what he's done with the Islanders, to me, is amazing. Now, is he overcredited for what has happened with the Islanders? I guess you could make that case. You could go, but over the duration of his career, you're giving him a ton of credit.
Yeah.
I don't disagree with you, but I'm just saying, whenever you talk about coaches being overblamed,
sure.
I do think, yeah, I think it goes both ways to some extent. But what a story.
I mean, the combo of Lou Lamoriello and Barry sure. Trotz there has worked like gold.
Yeah.
With the franchise that, to your point, Robbie, they lost John Tavares. Everyone thought they were just going to go down to the tubes, and they've won five playoff series in the 3 years.
How many series has John Tavares won since then?
Zip.
Zero.
Funny how that works, right?
Yeah, it is funny. Grass is not always
green. So what's the lesson? So what's the lesson you take out of this?
Well, Barry Trotz is a good coach. That's the lesson I take out of this so far. I mean, look, the Islanders, it's funny because, like, at the end of the season, they were struggling. I mean, they were struggling to get in. They made it in. They were the last seed in their division. They get in. And it's just like they can take it to a different level in the playoffs. And look, we know the way Barry Trotz wants to play. I think that's largely why he was so successful in Washington. He's a defensive guy. Like he makes you play a 200-foot game. In Washington, that was their problem. Like they couldn't do that before he got there. They were run and gun. They were offensively. I mean, obviously you got Ovechkin, Kuznetsov, all these different guys. They were great, but they couldn't defend. And then Barry Trotz comes in, and you play that way. You get your star players to play that way, and we know what the result was. They win a Stanley Cup. This team, I mean, I look at the Islanders, and other than Matt Barzal, like they don't have much offensively at all. Like they're not that good offensively, but they keep finding ways to win, and they make it, I mean, just hard as heck to score on. I mean, even their goalies, I look at them, I'm like, okay. Their goalies are fine, but they're not great. But they're just so good defensively. And he gets his teams to play a certain way. And when they buy in, I mean, it's pretty easy to see the results now at this point. I think he deserves a lot of credit.
So how much of what they're doing, it like looks familiar and traces to what he did for so many years here?
Like a lot does. I mean, the talent level... Barry Trotz had more talented, not all the time, but had more talented teams here than he does right now with this Islanders team.
Like the 07 team.
Like the 07 team. Right. I might put 06. The 06 team. I mean, there were more talented teams he had here. And look, I think there were moves that he made here that he deserved criticism for. Like I think back to that 2012 series against Phoenix at the time, now Arizona. They're down 0-2. They come back home, and Radulov and Kostitsyn are suspended. They're going out in Scottsdale. They get suspended for a game, and the Predators win game 3. They look pretty good. So he just trots the same lineup back out there and leaves Radulov out of the lineup, which sounds like, okay, you leave the winning lineup in for game 4, and then I think they got shut out in game 4. And you're like, yeah, you might have been able to use Alex Radulov in this series. Like, I mean, he made some moves here. It's not like he was perfect, but – I think he's learned a lot from that. I think he's evolved as a coach as the years have gone on. And, you know, I heard people last night talking about how he's knocking on the door of the Hall of Fame. Like, I mean, I think that door has been kicked down. He's like the third or fourth winningest coach in the history of the league. He's got a Stanley Cup. He's going to be a Hall of Famer.
Well, and another thing about Trotz is you could look at what he's doing and what he's doing and what he did here and say, okay, so some coaches are like they're better with like less talented teams maybe and like the defensive side. But, I mean, he also has done it with the studs.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's a pretty complete resume now.
And that was impressive in itself too because they could never get over the hump.
Right.
Yeah.
And they were blaming him at some point. It's like, well, let's move on.
Well,
right?
In his first 2 years.
I'm not sure about this guy.
Well, right. I think, wasn't it the first 2 years? They got bounced in the second round by Pittsburgh.
Yep. Yep.
And then in his third postseason with them, they slay the dragon of Pittsburgh in the second round, and then they go on and win the cup.
But at that point, it had already become,
well, that's what management. It was.
And that's why he's not there anymore.
Yeah, I mean, they wouldn't give him a contract extension.
Yeah.
I mean, they were going to fire him if they didn't win the cup that year, which is – it's amazing to
But that's the NHL.
Yeah.
I mean,
but he
totally different situation. But again, like John Hines is not even a year here for a team that's been totally fumbling around without him. And, oh, John Hines, got to go. Now, that was, I think some of that is John Hines. I mean, his resume is very short right now, right?
Yep.
Coming in here. But still, I mean, I just thought it was crazy to just be looking at the coach. But that's what people do in the NHL.
Trotz wouldn't have been fired because he wasn't under a contract.
Well, yeah, he just wouldn't get his contract.
He would have been gone.
Yeah, he'd have been gone.
And he still was just gone.
Which is incredible.
I mean, he hasn't lost in the first round since he left Nashville. Yep. Think about that.
Yeah. It's pretty nuts.
It's pretty awesome.
It's awesome. I mean, we know this. I mean, Barry Trotz, if you've ever met him, I mean, it couldn't be happening to a better guy. Like, he is awesome. He is everything you want in a coach.
And there was a cool moment last night after the Islanders scored the empty net goal where Lane Lambert, who was an assistant here for his last couple of years with the Preds, he and Lane Lambert, like, you know, went nuts on the Islanders bench when the empty netter went in to seal the deal.
Yep. Yeah, I mean, it's been incredible to watch. And then you've got Shea Weber as well with Montreal. Look, you know, Shea Weber started off this year pretty incredible. I mean, he was playing really well, and he's dipped. Like, it's become clear he's not the same guy. Like, Still good, but he's not Shea Weber anymore. He's been okay during the playoffs so far, but this is the first time in his career that he's made it this far in the playoffs. This is the first time he's ever been past the second round, which is pretty incredible to think about with as long as he's been around. I wonder who Predators fans are rooting for more in the playoffs. My guess is probably Weber because Trotz has got his cup. But my guess is it's probably Shea Weber. I don't know at the end of the day like how good Montreal is. Like their next task is going to be the winner of Colorado and Vegas. And this is probably going to come to a pretty quick end for them.
Well, what about Trotz?
Well, I know. He got Tampa.
If he wins, put him in the Hall of Fame immediately if he goes another round.
I know.
Come but on. They're not going to beat
them. That's an easier bandwagon to jump on, though.
Yeah.
The Islanders won.
I agree.
And I think a lot of it's because of the atmosphere that they have inside that building, whereas in Montreal they only have like 2,000 fans. But
well, I think it's the way they play, too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And the Coliseum last night was 100% sold out.
Yeah.
And just completely deafening all night long.
So you
it was awesome.
Okay, so how much of a chance you guys give them against Tampa Bay?
I give them a better chance against Tampa than Montreal against Colorado or Vegas.
I agree.
That's not saying much, but
right. Yeah.
I mean, it's in the high 20s, low 30s percentage to win.
Wow. That's high.
I mean, it's high, but it's really not in the NHL playoffs.
Yeah.
I would give Montreal like a 15% chance to beat Colorado or Vegas.
I wouldn't even go that far.
Yeah. I don't think either one's likely, but I think with the way the Islanders play, a lot of scores in that series going to end up being like 2-1. I mean, there's going to be a lot of 2-1 games.
Man, I know they play that way, but the opponent.
I know.
I'll tip the cap if that's how it goes.
Well, weren't a lot of the Islanders Lightning games like that last year in the bubble when they played in the Eastern Conference final?
There's not much room out there. And Vasilevsky's so good. Like, it's not like the Islanders are going to go out there and just light up Tampa either.
No, it has to be that way.
Yeah,
for
it's got to be that way.
Yeah, but I just, you get them on the power play. And, we'll see.
Kenny on Twitter says, I hate the Habs. I love Trotsky and pulling for him to lead the Islanders back to Stanley Cup greatness. It's a great way to say screw you to the Capitals as well. I think there is some of that. I think he's kind of already done that, though.
To Joe's point, if he goes out and beats Tampa to go to the Stanley Cup final with the Islanders, yeah, that is the ultimate double bird to DC.
When we come back, we'll continue the discussion on Barry Trotz and relate it back to the Nashville Predators. Has Trotz's success since he's left Nashville exposed David Poile here with the Predators? We'll talk about that coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.
Series is over. They eliminate Boston in six, and they will head to the Stanley Cup semifinals for a second straight year, where they'll meet the Tampa Bay Lightning once again.
We recognize this is a special moment for this building, and guys understood the magnitude of this game, the importance of the game, and this is a group that's very easy to. You don't have to say too many things. You just have to give them a little reminder. They're really a solid veteran group. They understand the moments, and this was a moment for them and our crowd, and it was what a great atmosphere.
That was Barry Trotz after the New York Islanders last night dispose of the Boston Bruins. The Islanders moving on to the Stanley Cup semifinals in the playoffs. Barry Trotz getting things done once again on the island. What an exciting call that was.
Who is that?
I don't know. I believe his name is Chris King, the Islanders Radio Network.
Chris King.
He's fired up. I like the passion.
Yeah.
I don't know if y'all follow Frankie Borelli. With Barstool.
Yeah.
Who.
I saw the tweet.
The thing has become a phenomenon with him as an Islanders fan on Long Island.
He's fired up.
And they had a live video stream of him watching the game inside the arena last night with his Boston dude from Barstool. And the video of him going nuts after the Islanders made it 4-1 made it look like they had just won the Stanley Cup.
Yeah.
I mean, it was hilarious.
Look, Islanders fans, they've been waiting on this for a while. It's been a long time. since they've been doing
this. And they didn't get to do this last year.
Exactly.
I mean, they had to watch all these games from home last year when they made it to the third round for the first time in forever.
Yeah. So Barry Trotz, I mean, he's bringing joy to Long Island out there.
There's a T-shirt of Saint Barry.
Yeah, I've seen that. It's pretty good.
It's hilarious.
By the way, the New York Saints, too, according to Bruce Cassidy, Boston Bruins head coach.
Oh, yeah.
Complaining about officiating. There's been a lot of complaining about officiating in the playoffs so far. Brenda Moore.
Gosh.
Bruce Cassidy.
Incredible, right?
Yeah.
I mean, it's always a thing, but I do feel like it's way increased this year.
So what does this all mean when you try to relate this conversation back to the Predators? Barry Trotz, as we know, he was here for a long time. His last season here came at the end of the 2014 season. And look, he's been a guy that obviously he's proven he's a pretty good coach. I do think back to that time. You'd missed the playoffs for 2 years in a row. Now the second year, Pekka was hurt for like 50 games. So there was that to factor in as well. And they made a run and got close down the stretch. But it did kind of feel like, you know, they had that run in 12 where they got put out in the second round. They missed the playoffs the next year. They missed the playoffs the year after that. And it just kind of felt like it was time with Barry Trotz to move on and to go in a different direction. As we know, David Poile stuck around. He made the decision to bring in Peter Laviolette. And we know what's happened since then. The Predators have had some success. They obviously get to the Stanley Cup final. I would say the Peter Laviolette move worked out. But Barry Trotz has also been very successful in his other stops. What do we think the success of Trotz says about the Predators, says about David Poile hanging on here? Has Barry Trotz exposed David Poile to some degree? And I say that because of this. I mean, I tweeted out last night just a gif of Barry Trotz's face laughing. I got like three replies about how the Predators made the wrong decision. They should have kept Trotz over Poile. I mean, I get it. You're going to get that on Twitter. And obviously with what he's done, it's hard to argue. He's a great coach. There's no question about that. I do feel like it was, just thinking back to that time, it was time to move ahead and get a new philosophy. But as you look at the results since then, could you make an argument the Predators made the wrong move?
Well, okay, well, before I answer that, take me back to the move. I mean, this was David Poile's decision, correct?
Yep, it was.
So who was going to make the other decision then?
I mean, I guess Sigurin. I don't know.
He was the majority owner back then, or yeah. He was the head of the ownership group. Yeah, okay, chairman.
Yeah.
I mean,
think about the immediate after that from David Poile. It's pretty good. I mean, draft picks were good coming in, making an impact. You had your decor at the time of Seth Jones, Shea Weber, the Weber-Subban trade. You built the Stanley Cup final roster. You built the President's Trophy roster. Now, we know what's happened since then. But, I mean, at the time, I think back to right after the Predators made it to the Cup final and the conversation going on in Washington about Trotz. I mean, if you would ask people at the time, it wasn't close. Like,
exactly.
The Predators made the right decision.
Yeah. I mean, it's, you know, I think one thing it says is, again, the coach is going to get blamed way more than anybody else. Especially in this league.
Yep.
But I think at that point, both had performed awfully well, right?
Yep.
I mean, what was the justification or the reasoning on Trotz was just like a new voice is needed?
Yep.
Or just
new style, new voice.
New style, yep. To try to be more offensively dangerous, stuff like that. And like you said, it worked out. I mean, it's kind of like it's very different, but I think of like the Ryan Johansson trade. So, you know, he could go downhill from here. Seth Jones could, wherever he plays, could be just a Hall of Fame player. And I'll still say, yeah, that was a good trade for the Preds. They got exactly what they needed in terms of personnel, but also in terms of performance in the immediate aftermath. And it was a surplus player on the other side for them. It's an absolute good trade. But if that happens, you'll hear that in retrospect.
I mean, you're already hearing it. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, right. It'll be louder. I mean, so... I don't – look, Poile, like you said, the problems have been since then, have been long after Trotz was gone, so I don't necessarily make that connection.
Well, at Gator Z on Twitch says, give Trotz a blank check and bring him back home.
There you go.
I don't think it's happening at this point. I think that ship has probably sailed. would be my guess. I don't think the Islanders are going to let him go.
Yeah.
He might have a lifetime contract on Long Island.
He very well might. I mean, he's doing some stuff that they've not seen around there since
the 80s.
Early 80s.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Pat LaFontaine.
Yeah. I mean, it's been a while on Long Island. Let's go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in Rob from Franklin, who wants to weigh in. Rob, thanks for calling in to Robbie and Rexroad.
Hey, thanks for having me, guys. I appreciate it. I think of the success of the five teams that are remaining as kind of a trifecta of what is important to a really strong NHL team. And if you want to take the New York Islanders as a for instance, you've got Matthew Barzal, Anders Lee, who's hurt, Kyle Palmieri, and then you've got a really strong goalie and then a really strong system. So you've got the triangulation on a superstar, a really good goalie, and a strong system. And the X factor there, to me, is they really bought into the system, very strong defensively, and they have they seem to always have a crop of goalies that they can pull upon, you know, and cite Mitch Korn for that, who followed Barry Trotz there.
Yeah.
So you've got and Mitch Korn probably I've got my son is a up and coming 12-13-year-old goalie, and when you watch some of the things that Mitch Korn does, it just is absolutely unique. Then you've got, you want to take another, you could cite the same examples with Lightning. A true superstar, right? Somebody that you can count on for 40 goals. Got it. Check. A true goalie, somebody that you can count on for stopping pretty much anything. Check. What's happening in Montreal? I'm from Montreal. What's happening in Montreal right now is actually kind of special. You've got some pretty young people coming up that have made a huge impact. A really good system on a coach that is as fresh as any that was replaced this year. And the X factor, Carey Price, who's absolutely playing out of his mind. He's square. He's big. He's, by the way, a big goalie. He just doesn't look it when he's in a stance, but he's a very big guy. I think he's 6'2", 6'3". Playing incredibly well. And then, you know, I think who makes it out of the Colorado Vegas series will depend largely on goaltending as well, I think. But then you have absolutely great goaltending, absolutely great system, and then superstars. Yep. Okay. What are we missing here? We have a good goalie. Is he a superstar goalie? No. But he's up and coming. So you've got to tip your hat for Poile and the scouting team. They've done a great job at bringing in good goalies. They've done that. But never have they been able to solve the one puzzle, and he's tried to go out and cheat it by trading for it. He's tried to solve the problem of how do I get that superstar? You might have a decent system, but how do I get that superstar? They've never been able to solve that puzzle. And until I truly believe that he is not very, very good. Poile is not good at addressing good forward talent up and coming, and it's just a matter of I think it's a matter of time before he exits stage left and we get somebody that can address that.
All right, thanks for the call, Rob. We appreciate it. I mean, look, that's going to be a conversation on David Poile, and has been for a long time. Like, you've got to find a way to get that game changing forward, and we're going to discuss this a little bit more when we come back in terms of the plan of attack this offseason. But part of the equation is, like, you've never really been bad enough to have a draft pick like a Nathan MacKinnon or a Connor McDavid or a Jonathan Toews, a Patrick Kane. I mean, that's part of this equation too, but there's no question about it. You've got to be better at finding and identifying and drafting top-end forward talent, and that has not been a strength for the Predators under David Poile. When we come back, we'll continue the conversation on the Predators, get to their plan of attack for this offseason, what needs to happen to get this Predators team closer to contention. We'll talk about that next. This is Robbie and Rexroad here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. 102.5 The Game and T-Mobile have partnered up to give you a chance to experience a Nashville SC game this season. Tune in every Monday to Darren, Donick, and Chase for the keyword to text in to win. Good luck from 102.5 The Game, T-Mobile, and Nashville SC. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game, streaming live on Periscope, on YouTube, and on Twitch as well. Taking your thoughts on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. Greg on the text line says, John Tavares made the wrong choice. He should have stayed with the Islanders. Maybe so. I think it's worked out pretty well for the Islanders, though. A little bit more cap space.
Yeah. It's kind of like when Suter left.
Yeah.
I mean, that ended up being a blessing when he left the Preds.
Yep.
You could say the same about Tavares.
I agree. I'm sure he's probably maybe rethinking what happened at this point, given what's going on in Toronto and what's going on in New York since he's left. But I think the Islanders are going to be okay without him.
Yeah. So, Rob Franklin.
Yep.
Some good points. Verbose.
Yes.
On the call. I think that I mean, I think he brings up a good point there about some of the common threads. I think there's still wide, you know, differences between some of those teams, and there's multiple stars on some of those teams, right?
Right. Well, like Tampa, I mean, it's kind of a different game in Tampa. You've got three guys at forward, I mean, that are just elite.
Yeah.
Braden Point, Steven Stamkos, Kucherov. I mean, those three guys are – I mean, go watch Braden Point play in the playoffs.
And what he's done in this postseason is silly. But, I mean, I like the goalie thing. I mean, look, there's a lot of things that have gone on in that Vegas-Colorado series. But is this a little – if it goes – if it keeps going this way, is it a little bit on, well, the goalie?
The difference between Marc-Andre Fleury and Philip Grubauer is pretty large.
And we can go back and – point out that immediately when he was a Vezina finalist, it was like, guys, I think you're kind of missing why someone should be a Vezina finalist and why someone shouldn't be.
Yeah, exactly.
I also don't know how truly well built for the playoffs Colorado is. Like, when push comes to shove, like, Vegas has a gear in them for playoff style hockey that I don't know if Colorado can truly match.
It's so funny because I was with Robbie not long ago, like, are they going to lose? Like, yeah. They're ridiculous. But well, sometimes those ridiculous skill teams eventually run into that.
Well, you come out in game one, and they just blitzed Vegas. It was 7-1. And I was like, oh, my goodness. Vegas has been the better team ever since then. And it really hasn't been all that close. Like, Colorado's had their moments, and they had their moments in the first couple of periods of game five the other night. But Vegas has been pretty largely better since then. So, look, we'll see if they can respond tonight. I mean, when you have Nathan MacKinnon, you give yourself a chance. And, you know, to Rob's point, the Predators don't have that guy. Like, we've talked about it with Forsberg. I think we've seen enough out of Forsberg at this point to know he's not that guy. I mean, he's really good, and he is absolutely a part of the Predators' future. He should be. I think they should sign him to an extension. But I think if you're operating under the assumption that one day Philip Forsberg is just all of a sudden going to be a 40-goal scorer and put up 80 points in a year. Like, to me, does he have the talent to do that? Yeah, but I just haven't seen him do it at this point. It's difficult for me to just think all of a sudden that's going to happen.
Yeah, the answer is not Forsberg become a totally different level of player. You're
really
keeping
good.
Him. You're happy to have him. You need – if you don't have that guy, like Rob brought up there, like some teams do, then you need – multiple Forsberg-level players performing at that level, right?
Yeah.
And that's more the answer than, hey, Phillip, get back to all of a sudden you don't miss any games anymore and you're 40-point or 40-goal, you know, 70-point whatever guy. It's not what he's going to be. It's not what he is.
So we had Adam Vingan on yesterday from The Athletic to kind of look ahead at this offseason for the Predators and the plan of attack. And that plan of attack really starts with the expansion draft. You got to figure out what you're going to do in the expansion draft. You can protect seven forwards, go with three defensemen and a goalie, or you can go the eight skater route, which the more I think about it, I think that may be the route the Predators end up going. And Adam Vingan discussed that yesterday, the expansion draft and the route that the Predators could take, the challenges that presents as well. Here's what Adam Vingan from The Athletic had to say yesterday discussing the Predators and the expansion draft.
I think it would be poor asset management to lose one of those two defensemen, either Carrier, who's under contract, I think, for two more years at less than $800,000, or Dante Fabbro, who's a restricted free agent. so I went and looked at the forwards, and quite frankly, after the three forwards I protected, I couldn't figure out a fourth one. So, you know, I went with three forwards and five defensemen. You know, I think the New York Islanders were the only team in the Vegas expansion draft who did that. And this is a guesstimate. You know, I'm not sure the Predators even know what they're doing yet. But, you know, to me, protecting five defensemen, three forwards, leaving both Matt Duchene and Ryan Johansson exposed, I think would be, in my opinion, the right way to go.
So that was Adam Vingan yesterday on the show discussing his plan of attack for the expansion draft. The more I think about it, Joe, the more I think the option of going with five defensemen that you protect and three forwards seems pretty likely. Like, to me, that's a logical choice for the Predators based on the way that Alex Carrier has played coming down the stretch this year. And I'm with Adam. Like, I'm looking at forwards to protect on this group right now. Like, I'm not protecting Johansson or Duchene. Quite frankly, I don't think Seattle's going to take either one of them. I'm protecting Luke Cunning. You're protecting Philip Forsberg. And then you've got an interesting decision after that. I mean, you could protect Arvidsson, I guess, if you want to keep him around as an asset and see if he can either figure it out or try to trade him after the expansion draft comes and goes. Yarncroak, Sissons, I mean, those are two options as well. But to Adam's point, like, you get much past those three guys in this discussion, like, it's difficult to nail down a concrete fourth forward that I would protect.
Well, first of all, you need it to not matter who you protect, right?
Yep.
You need to know who they're taking, and it needs to be whoever of those two guys that you beg them to take. And then it doesn't matter. But if you're just going in and there's no deal made and you're protecting people, I would protect Arvidsson, because I think that they would definitely take Arvidsson if you left him exposed. I could be wrong on that, but that's what I think. I think that would be a pretty talented top six forward who still can make the absolute case that he's got a lot of good hockey ahead of him for a not steep price, and I think they would take him. And I think if you protect him and Sissons is available and you do it that way and you protect the five defensemen, then at least there's a chance that they would look at one of your centers. But again, I mean, the protection list to me needs to be a non-issue if things go well for David Poile.
Yeah, I mean, he's talked about wanting to have conversations with Ron Francis leading up to it. I mean, I just – is there a chance that they would take Duchene or Johansson if left exposed? Yeah, there's a chance. But if I'm Seattle, there's not really any way I'm considering doing that unless I'm getting something back in addition to it. And then the question becomes, all right, well, what does that mean? Well, like, what is that? Is it a first-round pick in addition to it? Is it – you know, Rem Pitlick in addition to it? Like, what does that mean? And what's your level of comfort if you're David Poile as to what you'd be willing to give up to rid yourself of one of those two contracts?
What would you give up?
I'm not giving up a first-round pick.
Yeah, I'd agree. I mean, that's steep.
Yeah. I mean, it's not the same thing as an NFL first-round pick, but I might – God, it would hurt, but I might give up Rem Pitlick for it.
Like, would they accept that? Just
I don't know.
Like Rem Pitlick in a third?
Yeah, I mean, he would probably take another draft pick, yeah.
Rem Pitlick,
I'm not doing Rem Pitlick in a first. There's no way.
Yeah, Rem Pitlick in a third. Would they take that? Is there any chance they'd take that and then take Duchene?
There's a chance. I still don't think it's a high chance.
They're going to say, wait, Rem Pitlick? What about this Tomasino kid here? Yeah. What about this and kid?
That's a non-starter for me.
Well, I mean, I guess it could come down to how much Ron Francis in Seattle wants to stock the cupboard, because you don't really have much of a cupboard right now.
Yep.
So do you want to throw in a Rem Pitlick in that cupboard and, you know, maybe he turns into a third or fourth liner, you know, years down the road for Seattle? Or does he play right away for Seattle and contribute? You know, I think it comes down to how much they want to just build on some assets and also get a talented player, but, you know, maybe overpaid player like Duchene or Johansson.
Yep.
Well, I could be wrong, but I honestly, I'm just thinking Duchesne. I think now, I guess if you're in talks with them and they're like, no, but Johansson, let's talk, then okay, fine. But if I'm the Preds, I think it's an easy choice between the two. That's just my opinion. I think it's an easy choice.
Well,
I would rather keep Johansson.
I would probably rather keep Johansson too, but I mean, the fact is, it's going to be difficult to rid yourself of either one of them. So if you can do one and Johansson's easier to get rid of, is it worth just freeing up the $8 million per year at that point? I don't know. I don't know what the answer to that question is.
I mean, imagine the scenario where that's it, and Ron Francis is like, look, I'm not interested in Duchesne, but Johansson, yeah, well, let's talk about him. And so that happens, and you don't re-sign Granlund, and now your team is built around number one center Matt Duchesne.
Yeah. It's a rough spot. It's a rough spot to be in. We'll continue this discussion when we come back. Taking your thoughts on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Go to thegamenashville.com to check out Nashville's best deals. Purchase a $30 Boom Boss Craft Pizza and Tap House gift card for only $15. Try their award-winning pizza, 20-plus local beers and drafts at all locations. It's the place to go to bring the family or come for pizza, beer, and sports. Four Middle Tennessee locations in Bellevue, Murfreesboro, Spring Hill, and in East Nashville as well, which has a huge video wall. We were in Boom Boss a couple weeks ago for Ryan Porth. Great location. Great job there by Boom Boss. Craft Pizza and Tap House. You can go get yours now at thegamenashville.com. Fourth, a big fan of Boom Boss, Craft Pizza and Tap House.
It's a great spot.
It is a great spot. Watch a lot of good sports in there. I'll go back in, Robbie and Rex Road, ESPN 102.5 The Game. Talking Predators, taking your thoughts on the plan of attack for the Predators in the offseason. @_up_too_late_ on Twitter says, get Duchesne better line mates. Seems like a nice guy, but consider moving on from the coach.
There you go. It's always the coach's fault. Fire the coach.
I'm going to go out and say that John Hines, he'll be back next year.
I will second that. I think you're probably right.
Danny on the text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, says, keep in mind, Seattle also has to reach the salary cap floor. If they're close or below, you might see either center get taken. There's a chance they do have to reach the salary cap floor. I would also say that of the 31 teams that they're going to be selecting from, actually 30, because I don't think Vegas is getting chosen from, which is, that's a conversation for a different day.
Totally fair.
Yeah. So 30 teams that you're choosing from, they're going to find a way. It's going to be relatively easy, I think, to get to the cap floor. So is that via the Predators? Maybe. Like it could be with Duchesne and Johansson. But it's not like they're just absolutely going to have to select either Duchesne or Johansson to make it to the cap floor.
What if they say, we'll take Johansson, but only if you throw in Duchesne? They'll make the floor.
Oh, they'll make the floor.
There's a lot of other teams out there who totally believe that the Kraken are about to take bad deals off their hands. So
yeah.
Keep that in mind.
And I do wonder how much have general managers around the league, David Poile included, learned from what happened with Vegas a couple years ago. Like Florida got absolutely fleeced a couple of years ago by Vegas. They took Marchessault and Riley Smith, and right now Marchessault and Riley Smith are lighting up the Colorado Avalanche and were a big part of them getting to the Stanley Cup final the first year they were a team.
Who did they want to keep because of that?
I don't even remember, but it was not worth it. I can promise you that.
You also have Columbus giving them William Karlsson to take David Clarkson's contract.
And Karlsson scored 40 goals that year. So a lot of fleecing going on. And look, in some ways, I kind of feel bad for Seattle because the expectation is now going to be to come in and be really good immediately. And the likelihood is it's probably not going to happen. Like they're probably not going to be all that good. But I do wonder how much general managers around the league have learned from the absolute fleecing that took place with Vegas last time around.
Speaking of Vegas, by the way, they've also somehow fired a coach in the middle of all this success, too. So
they have.
Just imagine that.
Yes, they have.
Incredible.
It's pretty nuts to see how that's worked out. So beyond that, the expansion draft is its own animal, and there are a lot of different ways that could go. Who do we think the most likely trade candidates are this offseason for the Predators? Like, I have a feeling, I don't know exactly who it's going to be, I just kind of get the feeling something's going to happen this offseason. Like, I feel like somebody's going to get traded that maybe you're either not thinking about or maybe a core member of this team is going to get traded. Who do we think the most likely trade candidate would be?
Well, Arvidsson, and then I'd go Ellis. And I don't disagree with what you guys have said about Ellis and the strong feeling within the organization that they don't want to move him. They like him a lot. He's a very good player. But I can't really think of anybody else who – I mean, I just – Forsberg? That would be – like, to me, I mean, that would be the shocker. And then it's like, what are you getting back?
Yeah.
I can't see it. Obviously, we know that Yossi is not even a candidate, and they would never do that anyway.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess you throw Ekholm on there as a possibility, too.
Maybe Fabbro?
Well, that's true. I mean, certainly one of those guys, but yeah, he would certainly be an interesting case of young, skilled, talented.
I mean, you're not getting a ton back for Dante Fabbro.
Right.
I think my top answer is Arvidsson, but I still think you've got to look at Ellis. I really do. Like, again, I don't know how much willingness is going to be there, but you've tried this formula now for a few years, and I get why. Ellis, Ekholm, Yossi, all very good players. We all recognize that. As much heat as Ryan Ellis takes, about 85-90% of what you see from Ryan Ellis is pretty good. I mean, it's pretty good from Ryan Ellis. He's had his moments where he struggled in the playoffs, but he's a pretty good player. I still think around the league, he's got pretty good value. I don't think his contract, even though it's not cheap, I mean, it's $6.25 million per year, I don't think that that's just automatically going to spook teams away from him. I don't. I think you can find some teams that are willing to take on that contract, and you could still get a pretty decent return for him. Like, are you just going to every year keep trotting out Yossi, Ellis, and Ekholm and just rolling the dice and trying to build the rest of the team from there around those guys? I don't know. I get why you would take that approach, and they're all really good. But to me, you got to find a way to start getting some offense in here. Like, you've got to find a way to start scoring some goals. I mean, you have to in the playoffs. You had Carolina right there in Game 5. You needed somebody to make a play. They couldn't do it. You had them right. I mean, you had your skate on their throat in Game 6. You needed somebody to make a play. They couldn't do it. That's a pretty consistent theme with this group. Like, they've got to find a way to get more offense in here. I would consider trading Ryan Ellis. I would.
So if you did that, you're talking about a top four now, of course. Yossi, Ekholm, Fabbro, Carrier.
Yep.
And you're presumably, like you said, I mean, if you made a move like this, it is absolutely a forward coming back.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah. Got any ideas?
I don't know. I mean, I've heard people throw out Mitch Marner. It's not going to happen. Like, it's going to take more than Ryan Ellis. I mean, you'd have to give up a monstrous package to go get Mitch Marner. I don't know exactly what it would be. I mean, look, general managers, they're going to have to do a bit of finagling this offseason. With the cap being what it is, if you want to change your team, by and large, it's probably not going to come through free agency. I mean, you can make some changes every now and then, but
right,
largely, it's going to have to come via trade and, like, swapping salary. So I don't know exactly who that would be at this point. But, I mean, I do think there are some options out there that Ryan Ellis would be very attractive. I mean, I think a lot of teams would love to have Ryan Ellis on their team.
Well, and free agency obviously isn't as appealing for the players. But, of course, that if the cap truly is going to be flat for multiple years here, yeah, it's just not going to be as good.
Yep.
And maybe that does help the Preds again get what I think is very key for next year's team, and that's getting Granlund back.
Yep. No, I'm very interested to see what his contract is going to look like. Is it a one-year deal? Like, does he go back with a one-year deal again? I probably wouldn't. Like, knowing that it's probably going to be a flat cap,
right, like
just go 2-3 years. But
yeah.
I don't know. I'm interested to see how he handles that. I mean, Taylor Hall is going to be an unrestricted free agent. Does he sign a longer-term deal? I mean, he's lit it up in Boston since he's been traded. I don't know. I mean, there's a lot of things that are on the table. But to me, like, if you're the Predators and you're going to change this team significantly, it's probably going to have to come via trade this year, would be my guess. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe there'll be a player in the Taylor Hall sweepstakes, and then he can come here and
Should fans
disappoint?
Expect a trade? Like, you know, because like the Shea Weber Subban thing, that came out of the blue.
Yeah, I would say yeah. Like, if I had to put a percentage on it, I'd say I would go better than 50%. There's a significant trade this offseason. That's the vibe I get. What about you? Do you get a vibe that a significant move could be coming forth?
I mean, probably.
I mean, David Poyle talked about the team. It's going to be different next year. Now we know that with the expansion draft, it's going to be different. But I don't get the sense that they're just rolling it back with this core group next year. I don't know. Honestly, I don't really know how you could justify that at this point.
Could the significant move just be a scenario where Seattle takes Duchesne?
Could be.
In a move like that, and David Poyle doesn't do much of anything else on the trade front? Or
it could be.
Does it continue from there?
I guess I've always looked at that as the start of something. You clear that space.
So then
what are you doing with that space, right? That's what I would think, but... Well, but you're trade vibing.
Well, the space might be to re-sign Ekholm and Forsberg.
Could be. And that's somewhat depressing, isn't it? To think that, like, how is this team going to take a big step if it's just getting rid of people?
Recycling through the players and getting rid of people, yeah. I mean, that's a tough spot to be in. When we come back, we will switch gears, get back into the Titans. Teresa Walker from the Associated Press will join us. That's coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road live from the Wholesaling Studios, powered by RumbleOn.com, here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.